Help me walk to seven people. Shake your hands. Welcome them to the presence of the Lord. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. It's the blessing Sunday for the month of January, and it is also a communion service. It's the first Sunday of the month. Above only remains our place. And this month, we shall be going above only by the power of dedication. By the power of dedication. So this morning, we'll be looking at the blessing of dedication. The blessing of dedication. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to verse 33. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. Our objective is to understand the blessing power of dedication to God. The blessing power of dedication to God. I want to start by saying that the way of dedication is confirmed to be the way of the blessing. The way of dedication to God is confirmed to be the way of the blessing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want you to note the following that I will speak very quickly. One, those who seek God don't struggle to see good. Those who seek God don't struggle to see good. Second, if your priority is God, your possibilities are great. If your priority is God, your possibilities are great, they are explosive. Because your priorities will determine your possibilities in life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Number three. The way to see God is also the way to see good. If you follow the way to see God, you don't need to look for the way to see good. It's the same way. The way to see God is also the way to see good. Fourth, addition to God is key to additions in life. Addiction to God is key to additions in life.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. The addiction to God is key to additions in life. Fifth, if God is before you, in front of you, good must be both behind and around you. If God is before you, good must be both before and around you. If God is before you, good must be both behind and around you. Place God in your front. Look around, you see good. Look behind, you will see good. And like we have said, sixth, the place you give to God determines the place you find in life. It determines the place you find in life. The place you give to God determines the place you find in life. If you are going to go through scripture, can you go through that again, media, quickly? First, those who seek God don't struggle to see good. And then, if your priority is God, your possibilities are great. And then, the way to see God is also the way to see good. Just follow the same way. And then, addiction to God is key to additions in life. And if God is before you, God is in front of you, good must be both behind and around you. And then, the place you give to God determines the place you find in life. Somebody say aloud, amen. We have examples in scripture. Example includes people like Abraham, which we are going to consider in detail in this study this morning. Abraham was a symbol, was the symbol of the blessing in the Bible. But he was also a pattern for dedication. He was the symbol of the blessing. He was a pattern for dedication. Until you understand the dedication of Abraham, you will never be able to access the blessing of Abraham. And we're going to look at that very, very shortly. A second example was Job. Job was tremendously blessed, but unquestionably dedicated to God. In Job chapter 1 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 3, he was tremendously blessed, but unquestionably dedicated to God. That was Job. My own life as a young man started with the fire of dedication. I don't know how far I can date it back, but one thing I know is that as early, I believe that would be like age 9, and then with my brother who was like age 7, went to the Methodist priest one day and said, we want to give special number. That is at that age. Now, I can't tell what we sang in this world. I wish that there was a recording at that time. But there was just that passion to do something, to be relevant in the hands of God. Waiting on the Lord for 3 days at the age of 11. No water. I drank water the second day and vomited it all out. And in those days, we broke our fast by 12 midnight of the third day, age 11. And then going into villages to preach. All that dedication. When I rededicated back in the year of 1986 in the high institution, I went straight to the fellowship and started ushering people into the service for the first time. It had been there passionately. People see you today,
They don't know where your journey started and don't know where you are coming from. Dedication. One of the most important books I ever read on evangelism was written by an American multimillionaire. That book touched me about him. I can't even remember the title of the book now. But this man wasn't a pastor. He said that every time he was on his evangelistic drive, business trips around the world, he was also shuttling evangelism and preaching one-on-one and those kind of things. And in most of those times, he will receive divine ideas that will explode his business. He was counseling presidents of America at that time. The dedication, the blessing power of dedication. This morning, we are going to look at the dedication of Abraham that gave him the platform for the blessing. When you talk about Abraham, what is in the mind of most people is, he was such a blessed man. He was a tither, he was a giver. That was part of it. But there are deeper things about Abraham that qualified him for the blessing he walked in that we are going to see. And I'm going to look at four of them in this service and then look at another four in the next service. What did dedication to God cause Abraham to do? What did it cause him to do, number one? Obeying God without question. That was Abraham's dedication. Obeying God without question. In Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 1, the Bible said, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee," and so on and so forth. And in verse 5, and Abraham, start from verse 3 now, or verse 4. And so Abraham departed. Abraham departed. Abraham departed. Abraham departed. Obey God without question. What did that mean to Abraham? He was willing to go where God asked him to go, without knowing where it was. Obeying without question. He was willing to go where God asked him to go without knowing where it was. He was willing to go where God asked him to go without knowing how long it would take to get there. He didn't know how long it would take to get there. He was willing to go where God wanted him to go without knowing what he would encounter on the way. He didn't know what he would encounter on the way. And finally, he was willing to go where God wanted him to go without conferring with flesh and blood. What God said was sacrosanct. Human opinion was immaterial. What God said was final. Human feelings were immaterial. He was willing to go where God wanted him to go without it making sense. Listen to me, my brothers and my sisters. If dedication has not taken you to the point where you can obey God without question, then you haven't started. For many today, what God said must make sense. It must make sense before they make moves. Is this sensible? Why? How can God be telling me this kind of a thing? So many of us, our education is the enemy of our revelation. Our education is the enemy of his intervention.
Many people today, what God says must be subject to mental analysis and material consideration. How much money is in it for me? What will I gain? Many have to argue and negotiate with God. But not so with Abraham. It was obedience without question. Somebody asked me, they said, when you were going into ministry and God asked you to become a pastor, what did you plan to do if the ministry did not succeed? I told them, I said, there was no plan. I had no plan B because failure was not an option. How much were you going to make? It was not in the consideration. Salary was not in question. Till today, I will travel all the way to Venezuela and forget to carry 1 naira in my pocket. All the way to South America. They gave me a check of offering from somewhere after I preached. They were reminding me 1 year later, 6 months later, please sir, you have not deposited the check. You haven't. Please try and deposit the check so we can be blessed. In this country, somebody is forgetting to deposit check in 5 zeros, in 6 zeros. You forgot. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Obeying God without question. Beloved brothers and sisters, I want us to come to the point, because before you can say Abraham's blessings are mine, has Abraham's obedience been yours? You can't sing Abraham's blessings are mine until you have proved that Abraham's obedience is yours. When was the last time you took risk for God? When we married newly, and after we started to ministry, after a while, my father-in-law came to the one room in the boys' quarter that we lived in zone seven. He came to that one room in the boys' quarter that were, and toilet were shared with about 7 people or 10 people, and all of that. Tears filled his eyes. Tears filled his eyes. It's like, how did this young man, medical doctor, take this, my daughter, also another medical doctor, to suffer themselves like this? But his suffering has impacted millions around the world. And this is where the suffering has brought us. Somebody say aloud, amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace of obedience without question. I receive that grace. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Obeying God without question number 2. Evangelizing and discipling his world for God. We're talking about Abraham. What was his dedication? His dedication was evangelizing and discipling his world for God. Somebody said, is that true? Is that real? Yes. Look at scripture in Genesis 18 and in verse 19. God speaking about Abraham. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. Children separate from household. The household in those days refers to the workforce, the employee force, the labor force. When the Bible says Abraham had a great household, Isaac had a great store of servants and so on. Household. Look at that.
that day, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. And when Abraham has done that, then the Lord will bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. See, there was something Abraham was doing that made God to bring to pass his word in his life. Many people are busy claiming promises without walking in the covenant. He will command, he will pressurize his family and then everybody under his payroll to follow the way of the Lord. When Abraham has done that, then God will bring upon Abraham everything he spoke about Abraham. Is anybody following here this morning? Listen to this. And you can note it down. That first, every genuinely saved child of God has an experience with God that they can't keep to themselves. An experience with God that is too real to keep to themselves. Everyone who has an encounter with God, a genuine encounter, has an experience with God that can't be kept. So that leads me to the second thing you must understand. If your experience with God is real, your world must hear, see, and feel it. If your experience with God is real, your world must hear, they must see, they must feel it. Somebody say aloud, amen. Abraham evangelized and discipled his family members. He evangelized and discipled his employees and workforce. Don't forget that last point. If your experience with God is real, your world must hear it. They must see it. They must feel it. I remember I came for holiday one time from the university. And I sat with my father and we were discussing. And wine was in front of him. And he was serving. And you know, in the village, and the village chieftaincy, the palace, wine flows like water. You come to greet the king with a keg of wine. And he looked at me and he said, can you stretch that keg to me there? Then suddenly he said, oh, sorry, you are not meant to touch it. Oh, sorry, you are not meant to touch it. I said, thank you, sir. I didn't say, don't bother, let me touch it. Oh, no, thank you, sir. He stretched it himself. Our discussion continued. If your world can't feel it, it's not real. Whether your father or your mother or your wife, or your classmates. I was in anatomy laboratory. We're doing dissection, dead bodies. Right there. And one girl was talking near me. I suddenly she closed her mouth. I said, sorry, I didn't know you were here. I shouldn't be talking like this where you are. Am I communicating at all? Beloved brothers and sisters, Abraham's blessing will be yours. When was the last time your life touched somebody because God has touched you? The touch of God on your life must translate to the touch of God through your life to others.
Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? The touch of God on your life must translate into the touch of God through your life. That is what dedication is all about. Abraham did not become the blessed person in his generation by chance or because God gave a promise. Abraham was doing things to activate that promise. He was doing things. When was the last time you evangelized a family member, a friend, a colleague at work, a neighbor, an employee, an employer? When was the last time? If these things are not happening, dedication to God is not authentic. In our university days, we preached in front of hostels. We preached inside university buses. Medical consultation. We consulted on operation table. Consultation table. We preached to people there. Somebody say aloud, amen. In those days, if I was consulting and somebody came with anything that had to do with liver disease and it's alcoholic positive or a bronchitis or a bronchiectasis or anything that had to do with smoking or sexually transmitted disease, that is an automatic pathway to preaching. And many were led to Christ. In your world, what effort do you make to ensure that your life touch your world around you? Or is this dressing to church and wearing new cloth and letting people know that I belong to so and so church without the life touching nobody? No, it's far beyond that. When I rededicated my life to Christ in 1986, 12th of May, my first target was one of our classmates in secondary school. Very stubborn boy. Smoke anything bad. He was a bad boy. You know the kind of people in school are a very bad boy. That was my number one target. I rushed to him. Caught him. Preached to him. So till he went on his knees. Do you know what happened to him? He became so saved that he became a missionary on the spot. I heard before I became a full-time pastor. Missionary went into African country where the gospel has not been preached. Riding camel to preach. At a point I was sending him resources in the mission field. Yes. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That one is there and plenty others. My dear brothers and sisters, if you want God to be free with you, as far as the blessing is concerned, be released to him as far as dedication is concerned. I prophesy to somebody here, this year shall be different. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest believer, say amen. Lift up your right hand and shout, Lord, I receive the grace to be dedicated to you. In Jesus' precious name. I'd like you to read that passage again. Genesis 18:19. He said, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him, so that they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. When Abraham has done that, then the Lord will bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. There are things we do that make God to cause what he said about us to come to pass. Hey! The Bible is so clear, so clean. When you want
to receive things from God without taking responsibility, it becomes 419. Philippians 419. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Without reading what is in front of it. Hallelujah. I see somebody's change happening this year. If you are the one, say loud, amen. Number three, what was Abraham's dedication? Number three is standing before God habitually at the place of prayer. Standing before God habitually at the place of prayer. In Genesis 19 and verse 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. There was a place where Abraham normally stood before the Lord. To the place. Abraham had a schedule with God. Dedication demands a spiritual routine, a spiritual schedule. It demands spiritual appointment with God. Dedicated people have schedules with God. Dedicated people have appointments with God. Dedicated people have their routine of dedication. He stood, not occasionally. He stood habitually. Dedication makes spiritual exercise to become a habitual practice, not an occasional practice. Dedication makes you to do things with God habitually, not occasionally. You do things with God habitually. Not what you do for management of crisis. Most people will do fasting and prayer because there was a problem. Most people will pray urgently because there was a problem. But Abraham stood before the Lord on a habitual basis. Devotion is the lifestyle of the dedicated. Habitual devotion. You are devoted to God habitually as a lifestyle. It's the lifestyle of the dedicated. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters, because I intend to round off because of time. There are many people who have time for many things, but they lack time for God, with God. They have time for work. Nobody said, I slept too much, I couldn't go to work today. Even though people who sleep too much and didn't study the Bible today, they have time for work. They have time for school. They have time to eat. They have time to bath, to have their bath. They have time for friends. Time to chat. There are people chatting for 1 hour on WhatsApp. So how are you? I'm fine. So what did you eat today? Which one? I ate many things. Some of them, this chat is with strangers they have never met in this life. This world of the social media is both a blessing and a generational curse. It has destroyed the spirituality of many people. Time to chat. Time for movies. Not necessarily godly movies. Time to play the hair for 3 hours, for 6 hours, for a whole day. But no time for God. And it's a major tragedy of life. Yet, we want to see Abraham's blessing without having Abraham's intimacy. The university I went to
University of Jos. The hostel is somewhere. You have the hostel, the Bachelorette hostel, I mean the Naraguta hostel, and then the Students Village hostel, and then you have the classroom area in the Bachelorette area. So medical students will go overnight and sleep over, most of them, especially in preclinical years, and sleep over in the main campus where the lessons hold, and return back to the hostel in the morning. I never did it once, for only one reason. I said, so when I read from night till morning there, how do I organize my prayer? How will I do my quiet time? For the fact that it will interfere with my time for God, I couldn't follow the bandwagon for that reading routine. So I organize my schedule comfortably. Now, if you are not able to do that, don't follow it. Sat in my room. Worship was on deeply in the background. Hosanna Integrity, Maranatha Worship Vineyard. All playing deep. Our Bible is on the side. I will read for hours. Interrupted with the Bible reading. Read for hours. When it was time for prayer, I prayed it comfortably. I will go to class in the morning. Smash the courses. Had not one receipt. Are you following what I'm saying here today? The only reason why I didn't do what others were doing was not pride. It was the fact that it would temper with my prayer life, my devotion. Am I communicating at all? Beloved brothers and sisters, I want you to make up your mind today that you are going to give God that priority of timing in 2024. That if the phone is going to destroy your life, you pack that phone aside for days. You are the one who bought the phone. The phone did not buy you. And you don't have an employment as a telephone operator. And some of the calls are liability calls. Annoying text messages. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace and the help to give you the time that belongs to you. How many of you have ever seen anybody sitting with the president of a country and they are talking, and he's dozing on the president? Possible? Or the governor of his evil counselor? What makes a person sit in church and sleep on God? On seriousness of life. Lack of the priority of what really matters. Talk that we are talking now. Struggling to keep eye open. What will you do with the rest of the year if you are sleeping in January? God have mercy. The most annoying is when a pastor who himself is meant to be a preacher is sitting in church and dozing. Pastor will have a sleepy congregation. Sleepy. Have you ever seen somebody eating and sleeping? It's not babies. Only babies who have the bottle in their mouth. Babies. Hallelujah. It's not possible for important things of life to be carried out and you are too sleepy to face it. It's not possible. On seriousness of life. You go to military training, they will train them from night till morning. night till morning. And they'll be in the class in the morning.
There's no way. Say you can't sleep. Just ensure your eyes are open. Sleep with your eyes open. Hallelujah. Somebody here today, I see your spiritual life shifting levels. Who is that person? I see your spiritual fire shifting levels. You believe that, shout the loudest, say amen. Look at your neighbor, say, it is time to get serious with God. It is time to get serious with God. Louder, it is time to get serious with God. Standing before God habitually, and let me take the final one. And that is, holding nothing back from God. Holding nothing back from God. Abraham's dedication was to the point where he held nothing back from God. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1 all the way to verse 3. When God told Abraham to give him his son, his only son Isaac, he held nothing back from God. Nothing was too big for God to ask Abraham to give or to give up. He started by asking him to give up his father's house. He went all the way to asking Abraham, well, whatever transaction went on between Abraham and God, Abraham was giving 10% of his income to God and went all the way to where he gave his son, his only son, Isaac. Nothing was too big for Abraham to give. Nothing could come between him and God. This was Abraham. What Abraham could not give to God is what God had not given him. If Abraham can't give it to God, it means it is not in his hand yet. If God had given him to Abraham, giving it back to God, there was no negotiation. This is not so with many today. I see people talk about, why should they ask me to give my money to God? First of all, it can't be your money. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. Everything under heaven belongs to God. Everybody's a mere caretaker. Nobody owns anything. And what is worse, the energy you used to do the work that brought the money, who gave it? I slept and I awaked. Who woke you up in the morning? When was the last time you slept and woke yourself up? There were people who set alarm clock. The alarm rang, they couldn't wake. They have reported in eternity. You understand what I'm saying? Your heart that is beating, the oxygen in your nostrils that made you to get anything, who gave it to you? That is my mentality. I own nothing. Nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to God. I owe everything to God. This is real dedication. If you have not come to the point where God could make a demand on you and there is no problem, you haven't started your journey yet. If you are struggling with giving, there are people when it is time to give, they look for retired naira note. Retired and tired. My father was an ancient preacher before he became a king, a chief. Rural, he planted, Methodist church planted. As businessman and traditional ruler as he was then, He said in his mouth that there is a money denomination he cannot give to God. How can he give God such level of money? He can't give God a battered note. Many of us, we just treat God like, let me get the best of my life and give the rest to God. You know what happened to me one day? This would be almost 20 years ago. They brought me a shoe and they said the shoe was costing 7,000 naira. And I said, shoe for 7,000? Then, does the shoe have tires? So that if you wear it, you don't walk again. It's a long time ago. I can just look for somebody else to sell the shoe to. That same week, under 7 days, I spent 50,000 buying Bibles, buying spiritual materials, investing in my spiritual life. I said, I haven't given God such an amount at once. Why will I use it to buy shoe? I haven't given God such an amount at once. Why will I use it to buy shoe? That was my reasoning. And when I had given God that amount, I could buy anything. I think now I can actually buy anything, because there is nothing that I have not been able to give to God by his mercies. Somebody say aloud, amen. When there was enough money to build a house, we didn't build a house. We built church first. We lived in rented house for 13 years and 3 months. At that time, church buildings were everywhere already of this church. We forgot that we didn't have a house. Am I communicating? The first time 500,000 entered my hand, I remember what happened. Somebody came and he said, I have this offering for you. When I saw the amount, I said, take it to church. This must belong to church. He said, no, the one that is for church, I have already given it to church. This one is personally for you. I said, really? 500,000 naira? I am calculating how to give my tithe and then how to do with the rest. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, this is not your harvest. It is your seed. Oh, the whole of it, the whole of it. And even instructed me to add money that I had already to it, to release. Praise the Lord. Take, Lord. Before I could come down from that one, 1 million came for the first time. The same story. This is not your seed harvest yet. This is your giving. Ele. How it was how I released it. Boom. You know, I share the story sometimes. Somebody said, that is the problem of hearing God. He said, if you didn't hear God, will anybody tell you to give it?
Can you see the way people are thinking?
No, look at your neighbor. Say, it's not a problem to hear God. It's a blessing to hear God. Hey! Hey! Give the Lord a shout of victory! Beloved brothers and sisters, this is what dedication. God is not looking for what to take from you. He's looking for what to give to you. When God took the rib from Adam, it's not that he wanted to chop bone. And not that he's looking for human bone to eat. It's because of what he wanted to give to Adam. He only took the rib to use it to manufacture the Eve. And to return it back to Adam, not for his benefit, but for the benefit of Adam. When he said they should bring water at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, it's not that he wanted to drink six pots of water at once. It's not what he wants to get from you. It's what he wants to get to you. Somebody is blessed this morning. If you are that person, say louder, amen. If you are that person, shout the loudest, amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, I shall receive Abraham's blessing, and I shall also receive Abraham's dedication. I receive the grace to function in Abraham's dedication. In Jesus' precious name. Please take your seat. In the second service, we are going to look at four more. Because of how time is, I thought I'll be able to go through those four in this service as well. That is, just give the hint. But the time might not be there. But my counsel is to pick up the message in the second service, so that you can have a completion of the messages. Now, let us go to the blessing of Abraham, and then we are rounding up. So, after Abraham had this dedication, the outcome was a blessing. What blessing did he have? Number one, the blessing of divine guidance. Abraham was guided. He had God. Genesis 12, 1 to 3 for a start. Divine guidance, which is an asset of life. Direction is key to destination. The blessing of divine guidance, number two, is the blessing, the one we know, the blessing of supernatural supplies. Genesis 39 verse 2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold, by virtue of such dedication to God. The blessing of supernatural supply. Number three, is the blessing of strength and health. Strength and health. Abraham was the man who went to war at an age heading already towards 100 years. In Genesis 14 and verse 14, he was strong enough to go to battle himself, to pursue the enemy of five nations. He was strong enough to walk 3 days to the mountains of Moriah. Genesis 22 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 3. When God spoke to Abraham, he got up early in the morning at an age of almost 120 years, walking uphill on the mountains. What is strength? What the health? The blessing of strength. The blessing of health. Your dedication will facilitate divine guidance. Supernatural supply, the blessing of health, strength and health. Number four, is the blessing of preservation, divine defense. To be dedicated to God is to be defended by God, is to be defended by God. The blessing of divine defense. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 3, a man looked for Abraham's wife's trouble, or Abraham's trouble. His name was Abimelech. And God came to him in the night and said, you are a dead man. For the woman you have is somebody's wife. I've finished you already. You are not about to die. You have been dead. You are dead. Waiting to be buried. Divine defense. You see what dedication does? Number five is the blessing of divine life. Longevity. The fulfillment of days. In Genesis chapter 25 and in verse 7 all the way to verse 8, the Bible speaking, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 150 years. Then 175 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. An old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. Beloved, I welcome you to this highway of dedication that is going to guarantee for you blessings you don't need to beg for. You don't need to ask for. And I want to say again, for somebody here, this year shall be the best year of your life so far. You believe that? Jump on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Lift your hands with the loudest shout of amen. Lift up your hands and give him the praise for his word. Give him the praise for his word to you this morning. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Father, thank you. Honor him. Adore him. Worship him. Magnify him. Glorify him. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. Let us Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration, the worship, the supremacy, the dominion. Let us set a fete kagazagadagalayata satakalayato sada. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hands. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. Blessed be your name. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for lives. Thank you for stories you are changing. Lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father, I come before you today.
I come before you today.
To surrender my life to you.
To surrender my life to you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive your help.
I receive your help.
To be dedicated to you.
To be dedicated to you.
I receive your help.
I receive your help.
To obey.
To obey.
Without question.
Without question.
I receive your help.
I receive your help.
To evangelize.
To evangelize.
And disciple.
And disciple.
My world.
My world.
For you.
For you.
I receive your help.
I receive your help.
To stand in the gap.
To stand in the gap.
To stand before you.
To stand before you.
Habitually.
Habitually.
At the place of prayer.
At the place of prayer.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To hold nothing.
To hold nothing.
Back from you.
Back from you.
I receive that grace.
I receive that,
I receive that help.
I receive that,
I receive that mercy.
I receive that mercy.
In the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and speak to God. Precious name.
Amen.
Lift up your two hands. Just one moment.
lift your hands everywhere you are.
Oh, it's what my heart cries. It's what my heart cries for, Lord.
Up your two hands everywhere you are.
Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Lift these hands high. Grace to live for him. Grace to be donated to him. Grace to live for his purpose. That grace is released right now. Lift the hands high everywhere you are this morning. That's right. The Lord is saying to someone, things will not continue as usual. Your journey is taking a turn for the best.
Amen.
Remember not the former things. Say, behold, I do a new thing. There is a breaking of an ancient pattern.
Amen.
Hey! There is a breaking of an ancient pattern. A demonic cycle, a negative cycle is broken right now.
Amen.
The battle you lost before, that battle you win right now.
Amen.
There is the release of a higher level of mantle upon your life. To tackle your battle and your mountains. A higher level of mantle. A higher level of grace. A higher level of oil. A higher level of fire. A higher level of grace. Fire impact is coming upon your life right now.
Amen.
I see the mystery of the hand of the Lord. The type that came upon Elijah. That made him to run until he was faster than the chariot is coming upon somebody here.
Amen.
The years that your life was slowed down, those years you are recovering them this year.
Amen.
That's right. Lift your hands and receive the laying of his hands. Receive the hand of the Lord. Receive the mantle. Receive the fire, receive the power. That's right, it's happening already. When I say the name of Jesus, you scream, I receive at the top of your voice as you place your hand. There will be diverse encounters. Please lower the something. There will be diverse encounters. As I also see ancient altars catching fire.
Amen.
Witchcraft strongholds. Occultic strongholds, ancestral strongholds catching fire.
Amen.
Demonic strong men and women stepping out of your life.
Amen.
That which constituted a distraction. You want to serve God with all your life, but that issue is there as a distraction. Today,
I declare, it is over.
Amen.
Lift your two hands and majorly receive the mantle, the hand of the Lord, the fresh oil, the fresh fire to defeat what once defeated you.
Amen.
To finish what wanted to finish you.
Amen.
Lift your hands when I say the name of Jesus. You scream, I receive at the top of your voice and place your hand on your head. Father, let it be. In the name of Jesus, one, two,
and three. Receive it. Receive. 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 Receive, 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 receive. Receive His touch. Receive His touch. Receive His touch.
Precious name.
Amen.
So shall it be.
Amen.
Lift your hands and give him the praise. Lift your hands and give him the praise. I see the altars that caught fire. I see physical pains and afflictions that disappear. The breast lump and condition on the right breast, the knee, the arthritis, the waist condition, the blurry sight, the sinusitis, the peptic ulcer disease, all left just now. Somebody's arthritis on the ankle, sorry, on the wrist, just disappeared just now. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Take your seat.